Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call tonight. You can get on the air with us. Call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you this evening. Let's go ahead and get our program started here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you bless the program this evening. Use us to be a blessing and a help and encouragement to somebody tonight. And we just pray that we can point people to Christ through the things we talk about, encourage believers in their walk with you, and just bless, watch over us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Happy New Year to everybody. It's our first program 2015, and it's kind of exciting. We had a great time going out to Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio on New Year's Eve for their New Year's Eve service, and Pastor Andy Rusnak and his wife Carol out there, good friends, and we enjoyed the fellowship and the opportunity to welcome in the new year with the folks there at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid. What a great time. And, you know, we think about the year ahead and we wonder all the things that it might have in store for us. But it certainly, if I can paraphrase the one verse that says, this is the day that the Lord has made, we can say, this is the year that the Lord has made, let us be glad and rejoice in it. We've got another year God's given us that we can serve him and do best that we can, point people to Christ. Well, I wanted to hit a couple of things here today as we get started here. And of course, you can always give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's our toll-free number anywhere, United States, even Canada. We've had people calling that number before, 888-677-9673. And also, if you're having difficulty getting the program on the air, you can always listen. We have people who listen online, and you can find our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And that'll link to a variety of things, including past programs. They're all linked there as well. We try to keep that up to date with those. Sometimes get a few days behind on it, but you can listen to past programs there. And also, there's links to the radio stations that carry our program. And, of course, we're on AM 1220, The Word, WHKWradio.com in the Cleveland area, Cleveland, Ohio. And then we're on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN in Tampa, Florida. And I believe that is letstalkfaith.com. And going to any of those websites, you can certainly catch our program online if you're having difficulty listening on the air. And I'll tell you what, this is across the eastern part of the United States, coming from the Midwest and east, is some nasty weather coming through. If you're on the highways, it is windy. I know driving up on the highway to the station here tonight, I had to keep a good grip on the wheel. We were getting blown all over the place. And it just, the temperatures yesterday were incredibly nice in terms of mild. And it was, we reached actually 55 degrees sometime early this morning, and it actually went up in temperature after midnight, and we reached 55, but then the temperature started dropping during the day, and it was 27 degrees when I left my house to come up here to the station. I remember coming out of the nursing home this evening after our nursing home service, and it was just starting to snow, little tiny pellets, like little ice pellets or something, and that started coming down. And then about an hour later, when people starting to come in for church, it had switched to great big flakes, and they were just blowing almost sideways across the parking lot. and it started accumulating pretty rapidly. So if you're in an area where it's snowing, and I guess this snow's pretty extensive down across Ohio into Kentucky, West Virginia, places like that, and if you got to be out to pay attention to the weather reports and road conditions, and you know, keep your hands on the wheels. It's windy across much of the Midwest and Eastern United States tonight. And I guess it's not going to get much better tomorrow. It's supposed to be more wind and everything blowing through. So if you're home, stay warm, and hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. Well, I wanted to get to something that we started last week, and we had a number of calls come in last week, never quite got back to it. But we were talking about starting off the new year with studying the Bible, reading the Bible, and the importance of it. In a sense, the Word of God is spiritual food for the Christian. And it's unfortunate, but a lot of people who claim to be born-again believers really don't spend much time reading the Bible other than what they get exposed to at church. And unfortunately, a lot of churches don't expose you to much Bible at all. And my advice is to get a good copy of the Bible, get a good, I'm presuming that most people that I'm listening to or listening to me are English oriented in terms of language. And so I would suggest get a good King James version of the Bible, not the New King James, not the New International Version, not the New American Standard or the English Standard Version or Living Bible or any of those. Get a King James version of the Bible. And we've talked about this before in the past, and there's reasons for that. One of the chief reasons, and it's the reason I use it, I actually left off using the new American Standard Version and switched back to the King James Version exclusively when I learned that it was based on different manuscripts than what the modern versions are based on. The New American Standard that I was using, along with the New International Version and the English Standard Version and the Living Bible and all that, are taken from basically what we could call the eclectic text that descends from Westcott and Hort in the 1800s, two people that they did not believe that Jesus was God, they did not believe in the blood atonement, number of things that they rejected, and the devil used them to corrupt Bible manuscripts to produce corrupted Bibles. And the King James Version of the Bible, not the New King James, the King James Version, is descended from what we call the Antiochian text. And by the way, the Westcott and Hort, they champion what we call the Alexandrian text that came out of, descended from manuscripts that came out of Alexandria, Egypt, and primarily dating back to a guy by the name of Origen, who, like Westcott and Hort, he did not believe in the deity of Christ and the blood atonement and many other cardinal Christian doctrines. But the Antiochian text, which gives us the King James Version of the Bible, is descended from Antioch in Syria, where the Bible says they were first called Christians in Antioch. That's the church that sent Paul out on his missionary journeys. And it was a center of Christian learning and knowledge. Alexandria was a center of critics of Christianity, a center of people who corrupted Christianity. Antioch was a center of people who upheld biblical Christianity. Well, not wanting to get off on all of that so much right now, but starting off the year reading the Word of God, I think, is a great way to start. And a lot of people try to get into Bible reading programs, and a lot of times what people will do is they'll say, I want to read the Bible from cover to cover, and that's good. I think everybody should try to read the Bible from cover to cover at least once, and I'll explain that statement here in just a moment. It used to be in our country's history, really up until the early first half of the 1900s, that people were not considered educated unless they read the Bible. And it didn't matter, you know, it wasn't the case where you had to be a Christian, but it was just simply that the Bible, as a piece of literature, is so foundational to Western thought. It provides the basis for many expressions that we take for granted, like the writing on the wall or the apple of my eye, or his eye, and many other figures of speech and statements that we use, they all derive from specifically the King James Version of the Bible. It has shaped the English language more than any other book. It shaped our thought. It shaped the very laws that our country is based on. And so that, for that reason, for you know, the first 150 years of our country, and actually beyond that or before that in the colonial days, you were not considered an educated person if you had not read the Bible, if you didn't study it, if you weren't familiar with it. And so that there's a benefit right there, of course, but aside from the spiritual benefit, because it's God's word to man. But let me get back to get a good King James Version of the Bible and then resolve to read it, resolve to study it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And that's talking about reading and studying the Bible. And study implies putting some effort into it, not just reading a verse or two and saying, "Ah, it's too much for me." If I'd have done that, I'd have never passed calculus. I just barely passed calculus. Probably if I'd have read my calculus textbook a little more closely and a little more frequently, I might have got a better grade, and I might have, some more of it might have retained in my memory since then. But needless to say, calculus was not one of my favorite subjects. But many other subjects that I studied, I can remember my ornithology class in college. I would not have learned much in ornithology had I not studied my textbook. Now, I was a bit more interested in birds than I was in calculus, so I did study my ornithology book a bit more than my calculus book. So as a result, a little more of that stuck than calculus. But what I'm getting at is, when you're interested in something, you're going to study it so that you can learn. And the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." So let me encourage you, if you make New Year's resolutions, it's not too late to do that. Let me encourage you to pick up a King James Version of the Bible and start reading it. Now, let me warn you, reading cover to cover, I think, is a great thing. But be prepared when you read cover to cover, you're going to get, and this doesn't sound like I should be saying this as a Bible teacher and pastor, but there's some parts that get a bit dry when you read so-and-so begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so who begat so-and-so, and so-and-so lived so many days and begat sons and daughters and they died, and so-and-so lived so many days and begat sons and daughters and they died. Some of that can get a little dry. Sometimes some of the laws that you read in places like Leviticus or something can get a little dry. And, you know, when I read ornithology textbooks, some of it was a little dry, but you keep plugging away at it. And if you break up your Bible reading into segments, it makes it easier sometimes. Keep a record of it, maybe. Resolve to do something as simple as read 5 chapters a day. That's really not that hard to do. And you can keep a card in your Bible, and you can keep a bookmark or something in your Bible, and you can keep track of your pace. And if you read 5 chapters a day, you'll probably get through the Bible, I think, in about a year's time. And that's one way that you can do it. You can find Bible reading plans. You can go online and you can Google Bible reading plan, and you'll get a number of plans. Some of the plans, because some parts get a little dry, they'll break it up and they'll give you some readings in the New Testament, some readings in the Old Testament, and they'll have you read a little here and a little there, and then you have check marks, and you can check the little box on your study plan, and it'll take you through the Bible in a year, and there's other ones that'll take you through the Bible in a longer period of time, and just different things that you can find. But let me encourage you, find something that works for you. And last week I was mentioning that I wanted to share something that works for me, and we'll get to our phone calls here in just a minute. But many years ago, and this was actually when I was still in the Air Force back in the 90s, I wanted to get serious reading and studying the Bible. And so I had tried different ways going through, and I'd read through the Bible cover to cover, and that was profitable. It certainly is. But I hit upon a plan in the mid-1980s, I guess, and I've been using it ever since. And this plan that I hit upon, and it's really been a blessing to me, is I started in the book of Genesis, okay? And I read five chapters a day. And I started with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, read the first five chapters. And I kept a note card in my Bible with a bookmark there. And when I finished the book of Genesis, instead of going on to Exodus, the second book in the Old Testament, instead I went to the book of Matthew. And then I started through the book of Matthew. And when I finished Matthew, I went back to the Old Testament book of Exodus, the second book in the Old Testament. When I finished Exodus, I went to the second book in the New Testament, which is Mark. After Mark, I went back to Leviticus in the Old Testament. After Leviticus, I went to Luke in the New Testament, and so forth and so on, until after I would read an Old Testament book, I'd go to the New Testament. After the New Testament, I'd go to the Old Testament. And I found this to be a fascinating way to read the Bible, and I've enjoyed it enough that I've been doing it ever since, because I, over the years, because there's more books in the Old Testament than there are in the New Testament, it takes longer to read through the Old Testament than it does the New Testament. And as a result, over the years, I have read the book of Genesis in conjunction with every single one of the New Testament books. And that really gives you some insight, because a lot of times when you read Genesis, by the time you get to the New Testament and you see some of the fulfillment of the book of Genesis in the New Testament, you've forgotten what you read in the book of Genesis because it was so long ago. But when you go through these things, and for instance, I remember my reading schedule at one point, I was reading Daniel in conjunction with Revelation. At another point, I was reading Psalms in conjunction with Hebrews, and just different things like that. And so I had this constant going back and forth between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and basically it's a different path each time you go through, and it allowed me to see things in the Old Testament fulfilled in the New Testament, and then read something in the New Testament, and then go to the Old Testament and say, oh, that's where this began. And then I could compare Scripture with Scripture, and it's made for me an exciting way to go through the Bible. And over the years, I've added other parts to it. For instance, I read one or more Psalms every day, or at least I endeavor to, and that's good. And then I get to the end of the book of Psalms, I just simply go back to the beginning. And I also have another bookmark set for the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, and those three wisdom books that are there. And I start in the first chapter of Proverbs, and I read a chapter there. And when I get to that, I go through Proverbs, go to Ecclesiastes, and go through Song of Solomon and all of that. And then when I get to the end of that, I go back to Proverbs again. And so I'm reading one of the Psalms and one of the wisdom books every day. And that's my Bible reading plan. And I've also tried not to make it onerous. Sometimes things come up. I get delayed. I don't read as much as I'd like to, or perhaps as I should. And maybe the next day I try to make up for it or something. But I if I get myself bogged down or make it too onerous, then I feel that I have to do it and it becomes work. But doing it the way I do it, and again, let me say, this works for me. And it makes the Bible exciting for me. I enjoy it. But I encourage you, experiment with some different Bible reading methods. I did. And until I came down with this method, or came up with this method, I should say, I varied on different ones. People would say, no, you got to do it this way. This is the best way. Somebody else would say, no, that's not the best way. This is the best way. No, I've concluded the best way is the way that allows you to get into the Bible on a consistent basis, takes you through the Bible, not just the portions that you like, but through the entire Word of God, because the whole Bible's given for your admonition and instruction. And it's a way that allows God to work in your heart as you read the Word of God and you take it in. It's a living Word that God can work inside of your heart, give you understanding, give you insight into the Scriptures and into daily life. Well, we're going to get to our calls here, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888 877-967-9673. And we've got John on the line. John, welcome and Happy New Year.
Oh, thank you. I don't think it's going to be a very good year for most people.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. I make my predictions about the year at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
It's safer that way. I can make some predictions now about 2014, but the unfortunate side of, or drawback is that people usually aren't as interested in your predictions about the past year.
Right. So. I agree with you as far as your Bible reading schedule is concerned.
Yeah.
I think that's a very good plan for the people that are just getting into the Bible.
It makes it exciting, I think.
But I enjoy reading some of the, what they call the apocryphal books, like Ecclesiasticus.
Oh, yeah. Now, that's outside of my Bible reading. I do read stuff like that.
And the Book of Wisdom.
And for our listeners that are wondering about them, the apocryphal books are some extra biblical books that the Jews preserved many of them, but they never considered them scripture, nor did the early church. But they do have some interesting historical features in them.
Well, I know in the Book of Jude, it quotes from the Book of Enoch.
Yeah, and there's several books in the Bible that quote from the Book of Jasher, and I've got a copy of the Book of Jasher, and
right.
I've read it. But it's definitely not on par with the rest of the Bible.
The Hebrew canon really wasn't established until after the death of the apostles.
No, the Hebrew canon was established at the time of Christ. You're talking about the New Testament canon.
Talking about the Old Testament at the Council of Jamnia.
All I know is Jesus authenticated the Law and the Prophets.
I mean the apocryphal books of the Hebrew Bible, the canon wasn't established until the 2nd century CE.
But they were never established on par with the what we call the Old Testament scriptures or the Torah and things like that. It may be that some groups elevated some of the apocryphal books to a higher status than what they deserve. And I'll give you, for instance, in terms of the Roman Catholic Church, their Bible is longer than other Bibles because they added apocryphal books like 1st and 2nd Maccabees and things right. like that into their Bible. And even today we get people who dig up books like the Gospel of Thomas or something and they try to add them in. Those books were known and rejected by the Jews. They were known and rejected by the early church, the first and second century. I don't accept those books just because some people came along in later years and tried to put them in there. Because I've read some of those books, and I'm trying to think what it is. I think it's in 2 Maccabees, for instance. It talks about praying for the dead as if you can pray the dead out of some other location into heaven, and that conflicts with the rest of the scripture. And there's other problems. The Book of Jasher had some pretty wild things in it, as well as claiming that Moses was actually the king of Midian for 40 years. So those are in conflict with the rest of scripture. And every once in a while somebody will go, well, I've got the Lost Books of Eden, I've got them too. They're on my bookshelf at home, so they're really not lost. They're there. So we can dredge up some of these. And some of them have some historical value.
I guess
they should never be considered on par with Scripture.
Well, I guess I'm talking about the ones that are in the Douay.
The Roman Catholic Bible. And like I said, the Roman Catholic Bible, they put those in at a later date in order to have some biblical so-called basis for false doctrines that they came up with. Purgatory, for instance, is one. I believe purgatory, they based that on, like I was saying, something in 2 Maccabees, trying to say that you pray for the dead to get them into heaven. And you can't do that. The Bible is very clear on that, that people in the Old Testament, when they died, if they had faith in God and the coming Messiah, they went into paradise. If they did not, they went into torment. And today the Bible says very clearly, absent from the body for a believer means to be present with the Lord in heaven. And then we see in was it Luke 16, the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes in torment. So we're not going to pray somebody into heaven. If somebody's not trusted Christ in this life, they don't have any chance in the afterlife, and you can't pray them into heaven.
I've always wondered about that scripture in Corinthians where it says to be baptized for the dead.
Well, no, he wasn't saying to be baptized for the dead. He was asking a question, how come some of you are baptized in the dead if you don't believe in the resurrection?
Oh.
And it was a practice, it was a pagan practice. The Mormons used that to base their being baptized for the dead, because it's like I told a Mormon guy one time, in the Samoan Islands, there's a lot of Mormons when we were there as missionaries, and you know, I said, well, if I reject what you're teaching because I'm trying to be a good person, at least I get to go to the earthly paradise. And that's what he said I was going to go to. And I said, so one of my descendants in the future can become a good Mormon, get baptized for me, and I'm okay. But I said, if you're wrong, you're going to miss any paradise, and you're going to wind up in the lake of fire for all eternity. So I said, I'd rather stick with what I believe.
What did he say?
he didn't have an answer for that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
and really, that's what it boiled down to. Hey, John, we're about out of time.
Okay.
And
well,
I want to thank you for the call tonight. Stick with us. We've got another half hour. We'll be with you till midnight tonight, and we'd love to hear from you tonight.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 Cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. You can also visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Certainly, welcome you to give us a call. Also, we're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, and also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights there on the east side of Cleveland. And East Coast Pizza, the home of the homemade pizza, they've got, in addition to some of the best pizza you've ever had, calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. If you give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100 and mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's 216-341-9100. Also, if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, maybe open a pizza shop or add pizza to an existing restaurant lineup, give East Coast Pizza call at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. Doesn't matter if you're in Ohio or if you're in Florida or somewhere else in between. Give East Coast Pizza a call, 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus and how you can get started in the pizza business yourself. All right, we're going to get back to our program here. And, of course, you can always find copies of our past programs on our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can find links to our Facebook page at livewithpastoral.com. And if you want to listen to, past programs, or sometimes if I have the time, I try to put some notes and some references to different things in there as well. And that's all at livewithpastoral.com. And we're going to get back to our program here. And give us a call, 888-677-9673. We have Claudia who's been hanging on. Claudia, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, good evening. I wanted to say, may you have a blessed new year.
Well, thank you, and you too.
Thank you, and I want to thank you for everything that you do and help us to learn, and please continue to help us to learn. And I want to ask you, what do you think about the Pope having to do with Obama bringing in Cuba into our whatever it is that Obama has done with Cuba? How does that coincide with being, you know, the Roman Catholic Church being not a good thing?
Well, in Cuba, most people that hold to some religion, not all, but most of them, I do think, probably hold to Roman Catholicism. And I saw an article, I just read the headline and sort of skimmed just a little bit at it. I didn't really read the article, but apparently Pope Francis is trying to, trying to select cardinals giving preference to third world countries. And, of course, there's some speculation that he himself, coming out of a Latin American country, that he's got, some favor towards them. I can understand that from a human perspective. And as an aside, I remember when they were selecting the Pope, you had all these people speculating. They were interviewing Roman Catholic officials, and they were saying, well, we need a Pope that has this characteristic. We need a Pope that's this. We need a Pope that's that. And the one thing that was missing is I never heard him saying, we need a Pope that's godly. We need a Pope that God wants us. We're praying for God to direct us to the Pope. They were all saying, oh, the cardinals are probably deciding, you know, do we want a Pope that's more this or a Pope that's more that? And they seem to leave God out of it, but then that's really not surprising. But here's some of my speculation. During the tribulation period, and again, this is just going to be speculation on my part.
Yes.
The Bible indicates that there may be a division of the world into 10 regions, each region being controlled by some, the Bible calls them 10 kings, they appear to be some kind of regional rulers that will rule under the Antichrist, under this form of one world government. And the interesting thing is, over the years, since the late 1970s, at least, I guess, the mid-1970s, I guess I could say, I've been reading things and studying some of this stuff, and I was a teenager and I was interested in this. And since the mid-70s, I've seen things where various groups have divided the world into 10 regions to be administered in a one-world government setting. And sometimes they divide the world up a little bit differently, but it is interesting how they keep coming back to these 10 regional governments.
Yeah.
And one of the regions has been South and Central America, oftentimes, and including the Caribbean islands. And so, you know, you could see where if we're indeed moving in that direction, and there's a lot of indication that we are moving in that direction, there's a lot of indication that we can see things falling into place for the eventual setup of a one-world government under the Antichrist. And we know from the Bible that this will happen at some date in the future. So you could see where there would be some movement to try to, normalize Cuba and their relations with the West, with the rest of the world, so that they could fold it into this one-world government a little bit easier.
Okay.
And I think that might have part to do with it. Beyond that, I'll have to say that I've not really read enough into, you know, to say anything much more on that. But I think that you could easily speculate that this could be groundwork to, you know, setting the stage where Cuba and Central America, South America be rolled into one sort of overall governing unit or region. And likewise, people have heard talk in the past. I remember, about 10 years ago, everybody was talking about the coming of the Amero, you know, the Amero,
yes,
the replacement of the dollar,
yes,
and that Canada, United States, and Mexico would be rolled into one large administrative region under a world government. And oddly enough, various groups over the years have done that. They've rolled, Canada, United States, and Mexico into a region.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, some of the variations have been, sometimes England's been, or Britain's been included in that one as well. And it varies a little bit, but they all seem to be consistent in coming up with 10 administrative regions for a one world government. It's kind of, I find that kind of interesting when the Bible talks about 10 kings.
Oh, yes, it is. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so okay, that is kind of interesting there. So it may be that we can see some of the groundwork being laid.
Being laid, yeah.
Yeah, and the Bible says that when you see these things begin to happen in Luke chapter 21, in Luke chapter 21 in verse number, I just had it here. Just a second. I sent the wrong page. There we are. In verse Luke 21, verse 28, he says, talking about events of the tribulation, he says, and when you see these things begin to come to pass, and actually preached on this on New Year's Eve at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio, he said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, in other words, the foreshadowing of the events of the tribulation, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh, meaning the return of the Lord is close at hand. So, the devil's trying to get things together. He doesn't know when the rapture is going to take place. The tribulation can't start until after the rapture takes place. And after the rapture takes place, he wants to have as many things as possible in line so that he can bring the Antichrist to power and the one world government and things of that nature that we read about in the Bible. So,
Yes. Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I do thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call.
Have a blessed evening, and I so thoroughly enjoy listening to you. Thank you so much.
And God bless you. Have a blessed and happy new year.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye.
And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Jeremiah on the line. And, Jeremiah, happy new year to you.
Happy new year to you.
Hey, good to have you tonight.
I got the trusty King James Bible.
There we go.
It's Genesis chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. It talks about cattle and cows.
Right. Let me get turned over there. Genesis chapter 1 and
verse 24 and 25.
Right. All righty. And what's our question here?
The question is, God created the cattle on earth, and if you think about it, the Bible it says in the Bible how God created the cattle, and also, you know, it matches up with the real thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's kind of interesting here because he said, let the earth bring forth living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, the beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, God saw that was good. And he did this on the sixth day. And then basically this is the land animals that God created.
Well, you see plenty of them on the farms.
Right, and it's not just the cattle, and cattle was a more generic term here in the Bible. We tend to think of cattle, and we think of cows and bulls and things like that, and the Bible actually uses the word kind for cows and bulls, you know, because a lot of times we say cows, and we mean male and female, but there is no such thing as a male cow. A cow is only a female bovine, or a female kine, K-I-N-E. That's the proper word there. But we use the term cattle now pretty much exclusively for bulls and cows, steers, heifers, whatever you want to call them, bovines or kine. But in this case, it would have referred to sheep and goats, camels, and all kinds of stuff.
I also have a question. Like, if you eat, like, a bag of chips or something, and you pray to the Lord to, I'm eating this bag of chips, would you like to, you know, have some? And I don't know if that's a silly prayer or not, but he knows what we're doing if we're eating a bag of chips.
Well, you know, I think we ought to be thankful for everything that we have to eat. And, you know, it's kind of amazing. America's one of the few countries in the world where even the poor people are fat. And you know, we have the luxury of having junk food. A lot of the world is just struggling to get by to try to not starve to death each day. And we have the luxury of junk food. And
I don't know if Jesus would be eating that.
Well, one could argue with that, but I would say that that a bag of chips, if it's just potatoes, which are wholesome, that have been fried with some salt on them without a bunch of preservatives, is probably better than some things that we could eat. But you can get some nourishment out of a bag of chips, but I certainly wouldn't structure my diet on it. I do think we ought to be more concerned with what we eat. And, you know, as we think of coming out of the holidays, everybody having, you know, dinners at Christmas and dinners at New Year's and all kinds of stuff, and eating stuff that more than what we need to, and things that we probably don't eat normally. You think about this time of year, we need to be aware of what we do, because the body that God's given to us, we're supposed to take care of so we can use it for his glory.
I know there's a prayer call ahead of me, but I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. And, I was gonna mention one thing there. You know, if you have a nice car, you want to put good fuel in it. You don't want to go get bad fuel and it makes it run bad. And there are some people out there who've got whole ministries dedicated to helping Christians eat right, slim down, and get the exercise and rest that they need, and we can all certainly use that. But we don't need to be so obsessed with that, though, because, you know, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, bodily exercise profiteth little, in the sense that in the long term, this body's only temporary. But nevertheless, we should try to take care of it, use it for God's glory. But appreciate the comments there. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, let me give you a website that you can go to if you want to find out some more about the Word of God. And I read a couple of books by Douglas Stauffer, and you can go to BibleDoug.com. That's BibleDoug, Bible, B-I-B-L-E, and Doug, D-O-U-G, Bible Doug, all one word though, no spaces, BibleDoug.com. And if you go there, he's got some excellent materials on the Word of God. And there's a lot of good materials out there. And some, you know, you read and it'll be easier to understand than others. Some, you know, just they click with you more than others. And I like Douglas Stauffer's books. And like anybody, you know, you're not going to necessarily agree with every single thing that he says. He's just a man. But he's got an excellent book, One Authority, and it's about 800 pages. Now, you don't have to sit down and read all 800 pages to understand it. He's got a lot of extra material in there that makes up the 800 pages on history of how we got the Bible and everything. But he's got a lot of things in there that make it very clear of the difference between the King James Version of the Bible in a very clear, a very straightforward, a very sensible way. Not extreme statements and things like that or anything. It's very clear, very well thought out, very well presented. The sad thing is there's a lot of people out there that when you start talking about the King James Version of the Bible, they say, oh, you're one of those. You're a kook. You're a nut. You're an extremist. No, I'm sorry. The history tells us, and I made an informed decision to change from the New Internet or the New American Standard Version to the King James exclusively. I made an informed decision based on information. And when I learned that the King James Version of the Bible was based on different manuscripts than the modern versions that you're going to find, for me then, it was a simple choice. I made the choice based on information, based on manuscript evidence, based on logic, based on reason. And I would encourage you to do the same thing as well. And let me show you something here just to give you an example. And this is just one of many things that you can look at. In the Bible, in 1 John chapter number 5 here, there's probably one of the clearest statements in the Bible about the deity of Christ. And it's in 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 7 where the Bible says there are three that... For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, many of the newer translations do not have that verse in there. They take a little bit of verse 8 and they separate it from verse 8 to make a verse 7. And some of them, like the New International Version, have an asterisk there. And you go down to the bottom and it says some later manuscripts add, and then they give the text of verse 7 that I read there. And they say, but it didn't appear in any manuscript prior to the 1600s, which is kind of, I always find that kind of interesting because Tyndale used that verse from manuscripts he quoted from, and Tyndale put together his translation of the New Testament before the King James, before the 1600s, sometime in the 1500s, I believe it was. I forget the exact years when Tyndale put it together. And so that statement that there's nothing before the 1600s is just completely false. And unfortunately, they knew it was false. They just put it there, though. And despite the fact that the old Syriac version of the year 170 AD had it there, and the old Latin version in the year 200 had it there. In fact, the Vulgate of the 4th and 5th century, they had it there. The Italic of the 4th and 5th century had it there. And that's just some of the manuscripts that had 1 John 5, 7 in it. And also writers such as Tarsian in the year 150 and Tertullian in the year 200 and Cyprian in 225 and others in the second, third, and fourth century all reference this verse as being in the scriptures. So on what basis would they take that verse out? Well, remember I said earlier, if you were listening earlier, Westcott and Hort did not believe in the deity of Christ. That's probably one of the reasons they left it out from their manuscripts. Also, Origen in Alexandria, Egypt, who got the ball rolling on some of the corruptions of the New Testament manuscripts, he did not believe in the deity of Christ, and so he left it out. And so people who copied their corrupted manuscripts, they left it out. And so the devil was successful in weakening one of the strongest statements so that if the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and they say, there's nothing in the Bible that says Jesus is God, and you say, what about 1 John 5, 7? And they'll smile smugly and say, oh, that's not in the earliest manuscripts. Well, it is. They don't know that it is. The some of the modern people responsible for the modern versions knew that it was, and they chose to leave it out. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We got a few minutes. We've got some callers calling in. We've got a couple callers calling in. We've got Kevin up first. And, Kevin, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening.
Yeah, I would suggest to you that it's more logical to believe that the church Jesus founded is in charge of the Bible and not King James.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with you. That's why I reject the Roman Catholic Bible, because the true Bible believers down through the ages have allowed us to have that Bible, and it's been preserved despite persecution, despite the early Bible-believing Christians being persecuted. And, you know, the Roman Catholic Church, it's estimated, killed over 1 million Bible-believing Christians in their history. And so, yeah, absolutely. I'm going with the Bible that the true Bible-believing Christians have preserved at the cost of their own lives down through the ages. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And we've got Tom on the line next. Tom, thank you for the call, and welcome to the Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Hi, Pastor.
Hey, Tom. Haven't heard you from you in a while there. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, I've been busy.
Yeah.
I've got a phone number that I knew for like 40, 50 years.
Ah.
I forgot about it. Now I put on everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just 24 hours.
Oh, yeah. I can't give the phone number on the air, though. So,
no.
But glad to have you on the program tonight.
Okay, I'll send it to you, and then you can decide what to do.
Okay, but yeah, I can't give the phone. Don't want to give personal phone numbers on the air.
No, it's not personal. It's recording.
No, we can't give that on the air. So, it's one of the things with radio. You don't want to do that. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
But hope things are going well with you, and certainly wish you a happy new year.
So. Yeah, they're going.
All right. Well, we're running out of time here this evening. And so, thank you for the call there, Tom. I appreciate that. And certainly, we want to thank people for calls and thank people for prayers. And we're coming up on the end of the program here. Let me just say that we really appreciate being able to be on the radio. And it's really due to the prayers of God's people. And every once in a while, I'll get somebody who'll say, "How come you don't ask for money all the time?" Well, it's very simple. God has supplied the need. And we might talk about this at some point, how this program comes to be on the air, and we don't have to sit and beg for money all the time. And it's like I say every once in a while, you know, if you got $1 million lying around, you don't have anything better to do with it, we'll gladly take it and put it to use in some radio time. But, you know, we started out, and we're a small church. We don't have the money. We still don't have the money, but God helps us to be on the air, and he supplied the needs through various people and through our church, and he's blessed and he's enabled us to do this. We do this as an outreach for our church, a ministry outreach, a teaching outreach, and we try to be a help and a blessing, point people to Christ, help people in their walk with the Lord, and try to defend God and God's word, and try to point out that it makes sense to believe the Bible. It makes more sense to believe the Bible than to reject it. It's interesting enough. A lot of scientists are starting to realize the universe cries out for a designer, and I believe that it does. But that's another topic for another time. But pray for us. God has opened up the doors here in Cleveland on AM 1220 The Word, and in Tampa, Florida on AM 570 910. But we're out of time right now, and we appreciate you. God bless. Have a great weekend.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Ridgefield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Ridgefield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenold.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenold.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKW AM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.